How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, today we've got about 9 more hours of voting. Go to thegamenashville.com or at 102.5 the game on Twitter and cast your votes. The Phil Bredesen region and the David Poyle region. So the right side of our bracket is currently doing battle. We've wrapped up the left side yesterday. We've whittled that down to 8 athletes. We're going to whittle it down to 8 more after today. We'll have our Sweet 16 moving forward in our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. And right now, John Jenkins, we talked to him last hour, been a little pushback from John Jenkins. It was very lopsided when we started to talk to him, before we talked to him, and then after our conversation with John Jenkins, there's been a run. He's been hot from three-point land. He's actually cut it down to 81.5 to 18.5. And I know there's still a wide margin, but I think when we started talking to him, Eddie George was at 91 or 92%. It was very lopsided. So there's been a run by John Jenkins, so much that Eddie George called a timeout. Now, it wasn't a full timeout. It was just a 30. But he did call a timeout.
He just he brought everybody to the sideline, had a little pep talk, got him back out on the court.
Yeah. Said, guys, settle down. Settle down, okay? The 4 seed versus the 12 seed, Mike Fisher and Kimmo Tiiminen. So a couple of former Predators going at it. Same margin. Or no, a little bit different. 84.5% to the former captain, Mike Fisher. 15.5% to Kimmo Tiiminen. Blaine Bishop and Kevin Dyson, the upset specials in round one, the 11 seed versus the 14 seed. And right now, the 14 seed, Dr. Kevin Dyson, getting it done with 65.5%, or actually 66% of the vote to 34% from Blaine Bishop. So Kevin Dyson continues to be in control on that side of things. Mookie Betts, the 2 seed versus B-Hop. Brad Hopkins, the 7 seed. So far, it's going to Mookie, 73% of the votes. Now, over in the David Poyle region, Pecorine, the 1 seed, in control, cruising with 86% of the vote over Delaney Walker, the 8 seed. Sonny Gray, right now, losing as the 5 seed to Victor Arvidsson, the 13 seed. Another upset special in the making. Remember, Victor Arvidsson beat our own Derek Mason, D-Mace, who was the 4 seed in a slim margin. And Victor is looking to keep it going as a 13 seed with 57.5% of the vote. Bruce Matthews defeating Drew Maddox right now with 65% of the vote. And finally, Derrick Henry, the 2 seed, with a 59% of the vote to 41% over the 7 seed, Philip Forsberg. So that's where we are. Keep those votes coming in. Right now we're starting. It's been picking up. Business has been picking up with 9 hours to go. Remember, go to thegamenashville.com and check out on Twitter. You can do the same thing at 102.5 the game. So guys, so far still everybody in control, but we'll see if with 9 hours to go, if any of these guys can trim down some of these leads.
I feel like there's going to be a run. Somebody's going to make a run here. As you mentioned, John Jenkins, I saw some Twitter movement to try to rally some support for him. By the way, another great interview. That is so much fun. I find now that the pace is slowed down, you know, when we get these guys on the phone, I think they're all kind of in a position to reflect. You can tell they've been doing some reflecting, and they've given some great answers, right? We've hit them on any number of questions stemming from, you know, what they're doing now to, you know, how did they develop as youngsters or high school athletes, you know, some of their favorite memories. We've had some great conversations. That's been the byproduct of this. And so I hope people keep voting and keep participating, and we'll keep trying to get some of these guys on.
Yeah, we've had really incredible interviews because of this bracket.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of this. Obviously, we're trying to stay active and have some things to talk about, but it's created different conversations because we've had some of these guests on and been able to go down memory lane and get their thoughts on, you know, things going on today. I thought it was a great conversation with Jeff Fisher yesterday just to get his thoughts on Derrick Henry, and, you know, he referenced how he and Floyd worked so well together back in the early days when they were building this, and, you know, you can kind of compare that to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. So those are the types of discussions that have stemmed from this, and I think it's been cool.
No doubt about it. Also, we've got a brain exercise, a brain teaser out there. Day two of that, getting a lot of people weighing in. I feel like today the results are a little bit better. People are doing a little bit better with unlocking the code, right? Coming up with the correct combination. And like I said, I think people are doing better with can you open up the lock? We're getting a lot more correct answers. We got, as the day went along yesterday, and like I said, I don't know if people were doing on the up and up or not, but I feel like things as the day went along yesterday, we're getting more correct answers. I feel like more people are getting correct answers out of the gates. I also think this one was a little bit, yesterday and today, I felt like of the four were the two easiest. Tomorrow and Thursday will be the two hardest, in my opinion. I think they will have more controversy and will be tougher.
More controversy, okay.
Yeah, the last one, the one we're going to do on Thursday, I think is a little bit, actually, I think it's a lot. There's some controversy to it. I'll just put it to you that way. I can see where people will argue against it. And we'll just wait till Thursday and we'll see if that plays out. But even I had questions about it. In fact, I don't even know if...
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I still don't think... I still haven't gotten it.
You still haven't even gotten
the
correct answer.
So I still don't know. I haven't made the breakthrough on how to solve it. Like, I've tried different ways and I haven't come up with the way yet. So I'm missing something here.
Yep, no doubt about it. So let's go back to our discussion. We've got time this hour to – there's a lot of things being tossed around there. We were talking about CBS. We had a good conversation with Gil Capps. What do you do if, indeed, the Masters does take place in mid-November? And I just threw out – because I was just looking at the schedule, and I was like, oh, let's just see who plays who. And Tennessee plays Georgia, which is very strange to see on November 14th. That is definitely a matchup we see, usually around, the first weekend of October, right? Isn't that normally when they play? First or second weekend of October? Never in the middle of November. And how does CBS juggle? They've got the NFL. They've got the SEC game of the week in primetime on Saturday afternoon. And now you're talking about cramming the Masters in as well, because that's when their coverage would be. I mean, they would get the coverage on Saturday and Sunday for the Masters. So how do they make all that work? And how does Jim Nantz make that work? By the way, Jim Nantz has to choose.
Jim Nantz is going to be a busy man.
You're asking people to have conversations they never thought they would have to have. I mean, so you're going to have to change. Yeah, he's going to have to choose. I thought Ryan made a good point when he texted us of you could do a 7 o'clock kick in November because you're not going to have enough daylight for the Masters. So by 7 o'clock, I don't think you're cutting away to miss anything because they're probably running out of daylight. I mean, that's another thing to consider that, you know, will the Masters –
they have lights at Augusta, Chase. Have you never been to the Masters?
No.
They have lights.
I've never been to Augusta, and I don't think they have lights.
I just want to see how you would answer that.
Yeah.
It would get dark pretty early in November,
right? Okay, think about that. What if all of a sudden the Masters, you know, it's a four-day event, but they have to stretch it out to five or six because you have the, you know, you have
the condensed light, sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
the days
definitely
are shorter.
Something to consider. So this thing could be wrapped – either they start it on Tuesday – because you're probably, at this point, not having the par 3 and all of that. So you start it on Tuesday. to stretch it out, or is it ending on Monday? You know, what? Who knows? But these are also things you have to consider.
By the way, if they were to have it this week, right now, Eastern, they're on Eastern time zone, Eastern Standard Time, I would say it's getting dark around 7:20. So that would be about 8. It's pushing in between 8:15 and 8:30 is dark. So I think you've realistically got about until 8:15 Eastern Standard Time, and you're not going to get anywhere near that in mid-November, right? I mean, when's it going to get dark Eastern Standard Time? I would say probably you're going to lose a couple of hours, right? Each day,
you lose a couple of hours. In Eastern time zone, it's got to be dark by 5 at the latest, right?
Especially in November. Yes. Not at 5.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Especially in November.
5 o'clock? No.
Eastern time, absolutely. Yes.
You guys are crazy. You're wild and crazy.
I'm not talking about – it doesn't have to be pitch dark. I'm talking about being able to see the golf ball. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be too dark to play by 5
Maybe they play with fluorescence.
Easily, maybe before that.
No?
I mean, hey, don't think it's not, you know, being thought about to come in with some white balls somewhere if that made the difference on the last two holes or something.
Can you imagine if they lit up Augusta?
Who knows what lengths they would do.
That'd be the one place I could see them doing that. But, okay, so.
Turn everybody's headlights on.
What about if they probed it, like they had the flares, like in Platoon, right? They're just probing Augusta. They just shoot up the flares and have them. You know, like they did in the – if you saw the movie Platoon, you know what I'm talking about. When they probed it and lit up their area where they were in the foxholes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine having that
movies
job?
On the Vietnam War, that was a military tactic for
yes.
sure.
But, I mean, could you hypothetically just – we're having a ridiculous conversation every day, it seems, because we're thinking in hypotheticals. But you light up, let's say – 16, 17, 18 in some way. I don't know if you could pull that off or not, but those are obviously you're getting to those later in the day. So hypothetically, maybe you could do that. I have no idea. I'm not a golf course engineer, and somebody hearing this might think I'm crazy, but just, you know, thinking outside.
What happens when you hit the portable lights? Is that a penalty? Like, how does that work?
Glass everywhere. It just shatters. I don't know. I don't know.
Look, it's interesting. I mean, boy, you're talking about getting people's attention. If you did do something like that, can you imagine how many people would tune in to see that?
Well, sure. Think about
– I feel like,
know,
though, if we
theory,
did something like that, like Adam
every...
Sandler would have to be a part of the Masters, right? If we had the portable lights and people were pinging them off the portable lights, and I think Adam Sandler would have to be out there in some capacity. I just feel like it.
But it's in the context, too, of, in theory, almost every major sport could be playing at that time, right? Who knows? Maybe it's the NHL,
sure.
And NBA following season would be in the regular season. Baseball might be pushing their postseason back well into November, so that's a possibility, too. So the World Series or the postseason could be going on there. I mean, imagine the sensory overload that we would have, but we would be glad to have it.
Sure. That would be the best part in all this of, you know, we go a couple months without any sports, and then all of a sudden, hey, we're all coming back at one time. Boom, 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 boom.
And, well, that's what it's going to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
you know. I would say for the purposes of that, in that point in time, that we would have a rule in this country that if you did complain about there being too much sports, you are allowed to get slapped. Like, people are allowed to slap you, and there's, like, nothing you can do about it. Like, you're allowed to get slapped. Like, you can't say that. Like, we don't want to hear people complain. It's too much.
There's way too much going on.
I can't keep up with all this. Yeah. It's like, go back to April, okay? Go back to April and March and May and, yeah. Come
but
on.
You know, there will be those people that like don't care about sports. That they will be the ones that complain, and those are the ones that I will want to slap. Like, you go do you. You go over and listen to your music that no one's heard of, and grow your tomatoes, and let us watch our sports.
Yeah, we'll come back more of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Did you guys see the unfortunate news in the baseball world? Sad, sad passing yesterday. Mr. Tiger, Al Kaline.
Well, I did see that.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. And he, for me, he had wrapped up his career right before I started watching. I was old enough to start watching baseball. But, you know, one of those guys that defined a franchise, right? He started at a very, very young age and played his entire career with the same team, which you don't see as much these days.
No.
But, man, he's a legendary guy for any Tiger fan, for sure.
And if you talk to anybody, whoever was around him, spending time around him, they all have, like, the same message. Kind, generous, you know, just glowing about him. Never get a chance to meet him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I never have crossed paths with him, which is too bad. 1968 World Series, I know still is also going to have a special place in every Tigers fan's heart. He was a big, big part of that, you know, going up against Bob Gibson and the Cardinals. So a best rock kind of guy for the franchise and a huge, huge place in baseball history. So that was sad news.
No doubt about it. So speaking of baseball, let's go back to things that they are tossing around. And yes, you do have to think outside the box. And if you want to come back and try to attempt this, you've got to think outside the box. And baseball is in a unique perspective that they can do things. They actually have the setup, because as we talked about when it came to the NBA and the NHL, it's like, how do you have a little small Olympic village? Hold on, guys. I'm going to cough here. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't have the cough button on our
we don't have a cough button
as of yet.
So we have a mute button, so it's kind of awkward when you're talking. But, you know, you need kind of like this small Olympic village to make all this happen that'll have the setup. And how do you do that when it comes to arenas for basketball, or especially in the case of hockey, which even more unique playing surface? But baseball's actually got that, because there are two places, there are two states in this country that it is set up. Now, Florida's a little bit more spread out, more all over the state, but if you've seen the setup out in Arizona, and actually the Phoenix area, there's about a 60-mile radius in which there's a lot of spring training sites, including downtown Phoenix. That's where the Diamondbacks play. So the Diamondbacks and the Suns play in downtown Phoenix, if you're not familiar with the area. And then out in Glendale is where you have the Arizona Cardinals and the Coyotes. That's where those two arenas are. So the Suns and the Diamondbacks play in downtown Phoenix and out in Glendale, which I don't actually know the proximity. I know if you try to drive, Phoenix traffic stinks. It's a 30, 45-minute drive, depending on traffic, out to Glendale. And that's where the football and the hockey team play. But scattered all around that out there in between Glendale and Phoenix are all these spring training sites. And so you do have, I think the number I read was, what, about 10? At least 10, maybe 10 to a dozen fields in this area that we're talking about, where you could conduct baseball games. So that kind of
20 minutes without traffic from Phoenix to Glendale.
20 minutes without traffic?
I just looked it up.
Okay.
If you left right now from downtown Phoenix and went to Glendale, 20 minutes.
So a little bit further than, you know, no traffic downtown Nashville to Murfreesboro. You couldn't really get there in 20 minutes. You'd be pushing it, right? It'd be, what would you say, downtown Nashville to Murfreesboro, no traffic, just shooting down 24 would be more like, pretty close though, right? 25 minutes, 25, 30 minutes? Is that fair to say? With no traffic?
Yep, I would say so.
Yeah. So pretty close to, let's say, downtown Nashville to Murfreesboro. Just kind of think of that. That's really what the area that we're talking about, the gap in between Phoenix and Glendale. So you do actually have the setup. It's different than, there's no cluster of arenas, probably Las Vegas, and that's why the NBA's thrown that out there, because if you've been to Las Vegas, there are a lot of arenas in these big, huge casinos, not just where, you know, the hockey team plays. You've got a lot of arenas, so that actually you could quite possibly pull it off. Now, I don't think it's to the number that we're talking about in Arizona and the Phoenix area for baseball teams, but in hockey, I don't know how you make that happen. Basketball, a little bit better situation, but in baseball, you may have this. But with so being said,
you don't think it would work in hockey?
This is what would be different.
How do you pull that off?
Well, let me tell you how you would pull it off. I think in hockey, this is just me spitballing here. Remember, you would have, I think, a reduced amount of teams playing. Now, I don't know if it would be 16 or 20 or 24. I've heard all the different ones. But I think you would take one arena and have a cluster of teams, maybe a dozen. Maybe it's east in one place, west in another. And you would just play two or three games a day in the one building. And you would sequester everybody in the bubble as close to the building as possible. That's how I would think about this.
Are you talking about
baseball,
the playoffs?
You're talking about everything, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Are you talking about next season? Are you talking about this season? And you're just coming back to do the playoffs?
First things first, you're trying to do playoffs, right? You're trying to complete the season.
So then you're talking about
Stanley
16
Cup
teams.
Champion.
16 teams.
Well, if they do that. Remember talking to Elliott Friedman, he's saying there's been some movement, some ideas thrown out there that you would have 20 or 24 teams to try to get a few more teams involved and have a tournament of some sort.
Well, there does not need to be 24 teams. There's not 24 teams that were worthy of getting into the playoffs.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I would go with the 16 and go with it. That's what I would do. I think they're thinking about revenue. I think they're thinking about how to try to, you know, keep as many people involved as possible. The more games you can pull off, the more revenue you can recapture. So I think that's of interest to the players for sure.
Yeah, and that's it's all economics. I mean, that's what I think that's what's fueling all of this. And to your point with, you know, smaller venues like in Vegas, like let's say I'm just using this as an example. Let's say the NHL does a Vegas thing. I mean, the Golden Knights have this new state-of-the-art facility. Is it feasible to say that you could play some of these games at a Ford Ice or something? I know, Willie, you brought up earlier about how you get cameras and all of that set up, but you're not worried about fans, so I think any sheet of ice you could figure out how to make work. So I understand both sides. I understand your concerns, Darren. I understand how you could pull it off, but I think that's what makes this conversation so fascinating of having to think that far outside the box.
Well, here's a couple of things that I think are interesting that came out of the article from Jeff Passan of some ideas that have been floating out there. Let's see how he characterizes it. Acknowledge the uniqueness of the season would not be limited to stadium location or roster size. Among the possibilities that have been discussed among people from both sides, though this is not in the talks on Monday, here's a couple of things. Implementing an electronic strike zone to allow the plate umpire to maintain sufficient distance from the catcher and batter. No mound visits from the catcher or pitching coach, because think about it, you have a huddle on the field. 7-inning doubleheaders, which with an earlier than expected start date could allow baseball to come closer to 162 games. Regular use of on-field microphones by players as an added bonus for TV viewers. Sitting in the empty stands 6 feet apart, the recommended social distancing space, instead of in the dugout. How about that?
That could work.
Okay. I see that. By the way, are all the spring training sites set up with nets and stuff too, just like major league parks?
I would think so. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know if it's made it to all of them. I haven't watched closely enough in the spring training games. You're talking about the extended netting all the way down the line?
Well, yeah, but I don't I just want to know what's the setup for these places. I mean, you would need some. You would need a pretty good port. You know, I don't know if you don't need it down the line. I don't think. Like, where would all these players? I was thinking if you did 6 feet in the front row all the way around from dugout to dugout. So how many people does that hold? I don't know. So then do they have to go? You know, then they have to go the next row or whatever. So I'm wondering how much space do you need to fill rosters while they're sitting there when, you know, their team is batting or whatever. How does that work? I don't know. I don't know how much netting you would need. And I was just simply asking, I don't know these spring training sites. How are they equipped? I know how the Major League Baseball, you know, places in the AAA parks, but how spring training? I don't know. I haven't been to them.
Would it be that? And again, you're adding personnel because you'd have to do this, but would it be that hard to put nets up if they're not there? If you know that this is what you're going to do, then
I think
you could
sit. I mean, in the dugout, you don't have a net protecting you, so I don't think that's an issue. I think you'd be fine sitting somewhere in the stands. You're paying attention to the game. You have a glove, right. You know, if you want. You know, it's not like, you know, a kid or somebody that maybe can't react to a foul ball or anything. I think that would be something. It'd just be an interesting visual to have both teams scattered. Like, what if there's a beanball? you can't charge them out, right? There's no social distancing, right? You can't have a brawl. And can you imagine guys trying to run out of the stands to have a brawl at the
mound?
That'd
be something.
That would be
have a security guy there to try and tackle them all.
That would be weird.
And what about the umpire? Can you imagine watching a game where the home plate umpire is like sitting off to getting involved with the plays at the plate?
The manager, how do they argue? What do they can't get in their face like they used to. You can't bump them.
Yeah. Like, how do you can't do the Earl Weaver.
You can't
that's
do.
That's definitely. No. The Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, there's way too much projectile.
Lou Piniella?
Oh, my gosh.
Huge violation.
Hey, up! That's a bad call!
Like, right,
unless he came out with, like, a full face shield. Like, he could wear a hat with a full face shield, like, completely sealed. You know, you would have to put that on to go out there.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. I think Mike is on the line, and he wants to weigh in on this conversation. Mike, what do you got?
Years is played out in it's called Talking Stick, and that's where the Diamondbacks and the Rockies both train. They have a nice field. I went out there last year, and they got like, you know, 9 or 10 practice fields. My concern would be, I was just thinking, like, the clubhouse, would the players use the clubhouse? Would you have to have a clubby to wash the laundry? Would the players be showering and shaving in there after the game, or would they just go back to, I mean, are they going to stay at hotels? Are they going to get their own condo? Just some of the logistics around that to keep them apart from each other.
Well, they're not going to be able to stay apart from each other because, I mean, that's the whole point of this, right? They're going to be basically quarantined together. They're not going outside of this bubble, right? So I don't know. Guys, I mean, you jump in there. I mean, I don't know how everybody's not going to be able to.
The idea that you would go into the bubble, right? You would never leave the bubble. It's
right.
Not like after the game you could go out.
And go have a dinner. Room,
right? You would have to go straight to whatever facility your team is housed and stay there, right? This is the challenge, right? You would have to say, I mean, a lot of people have suggested, you would have to separate from even your family. Right, unless your family went through the quarantine with you, and they're in it all the way through until the end, that's the only way that could work. But in theory, you would just go back to whatever facility you set up, whether that's a dorm or an apartment complex or a hotel that is specifically bought out to do this. If everybody's in the same bubble and everybody's in theory tested and passes the test, whatever that entails, either they've already had the virus or they've been deemed not to have it, all of these things, then you're together. And in theory, everybody together would be okay, but that's with everybody in close quarters, it would just take one mistake to all of a sudden spread it all the way through everybody that's in that facility.
Well,
so that's
look at it this way, Mike. Right now what we're all doing is our family. Like your family, you're not walking 6 feet apart from each other in the house, right? I mean, you're basically quarantined together, right?
Yeah. So your clubhouse guy, to answer Mike's question specifically, the clubhouse guy that does the laundry, you would have to have probably a mini staff, as few people as possible, but that staff would be in that bubble with the ability to get your equipment ready and wash the uniforms and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have people together. I mean, that's just, I mean, we're talking about facilities, but you're going to, they're just certain, you know, clubhouse personnel you're going to have your coaching staff, umpires, you know, a handful of media. You're going to have all that, and that's just going to be a part of the logistics that we're talking about. Everybody's going to be in the bubble.
Well, I mean, is there going to be a handful of media? I don't know. I'm at the level of media?
I think
this?
You have to. I mean, and I'm not just saying that because of what we do and because, you know, because I was just about to say, I mean, I'd sign up to go do it. I think it'd be a great experience. I'm not saying it for those reasons. I just you're having this to keep people engaged and to give something, you know, for people to watch on TV.
What's the cutoff? What's the cutoff? What's the level of media? Tell me where's the cutoff? Let's say everybody wants to sign up for it. You can't have everybody. So what's the cutoff?
Okay, so let's think about this. You have to.
Let's think about it and talk about it on the other side.
Okay, and I have an answer for
you.
What's the level? What is the level? What's the cutoff of media? What's the level? I don't think every team can house all the people that they do now that work behind the scenes that do a tremendous job that never get, you know, a lot of credit for it. But there's a lot of in-house people that you never see as fans that do unbelievable work behind the scenes, but they can't all be taken on this. So what is the cutoff for every organization? For when it comes to broadcasters, what is the cutoff for media? People on staff, you know, that do stuff downstairs with the uniform, all that. So we'll discuss all that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nate on Twitter says he's not even going to attempt our brain teaser, our brain exercise. He said, I'm just not even going to attempt it. So that I'm a little disappointed, Nate. Come on, give it a try, man. Give it a whirl. Work the brain. Let's get some exercise going. You don't want to turn into mush brain, okay? You don't want to have mush upstairs. Let's keep it active. At least try it. Puck Buddies Apparel on Twitter says that they would rather have a Blockbuster gift card. Let's make that happen. Okay, we'll work on that. Let's see what else.
I feel like you could get that done by the end of the week, Darren.
I can make that happen. We still got some more brain teasers, so we're working on prizes, so look, it's under advisement, and we will certainly, it's noted, duly noted. Johnny on Twitter says he wants us to know that he currently has a campaign going right now to help Philip Forsberg upset Derrick Henry. He says he loves Derrick Henry, but Philip is his boy, so he's going to work on campaign. He wants to be the campaign manager for Philip Forsberg right now as he takes on Keen Henry. So, Johnny, have at it. It doesn't pay well, but have at it, okay? It's your job. You have accepted. You are officially his campaign manager. Go. You've got about a little bit less than 8 hours, okay? A little bit more than 8 hours to get it done. So, good luck on that front. Remember, you can go vote at thegamenashville.com. All right, we're talking about the scenario that's been thrown out there from Major League Baseball today involving the area of Phoenix. And they've got a unique setup out there in about a 60-mile radius where they would have a lot of facilities that they could house Major League Baseball games. Okay, but what is the cutoff? What is the cutoff? Who's allowed to do this? If you did do this, if let's just say this happened, and I'm not saying it will. I still think it's a big undertaking, and I'm not sure you can pull it off. But if they were able to, because you do have to think outside the box in these times to make things happen. You are basically going to the island not to leave until you're done. You're basically signing up to go where Tom Hanks went with a lot of other people, and you're not leaving the island until your season is over. And that's how it would work. So it would be no different than media and everybody behind the scenes, broadcasters. So what is the cutoff, guys, for what teams are allowed to take to this baseball island in the Phoenix area?
I think my answer, Willie. You would have to set up. Okay, these are my thoughts. I would imagine you're going to try to accommodate the local broadcasting teams. And so you would have a radio and television crew for each team. And that's not uncommon with your regular traveling party anyway.
So what's been going on right now, you would just continue on this island, your radio and TV crews.
I think I would start with that. You're trying to recapture your local, because teams rely on this, your local broadcast revenue. That's a big part of it. I think that could be accommodated. In terms of the media, and then you have to figure out what games are on, quote, national TV. Like, does ESPN do their Sunday night game, their Wednesday night game, all of the above? So a group of those announcers, you would have to think, have access. And then can you pool all the people that produce these games in the trucks, right? That's sitting in closed quarters. Those trucks are, there's not a lot of leg room in those trucks. So how do you do that? That's a big question,
well,
I think.
They fall into the category of what we talked about with Mike. I mean, those people that have signed up for this, they're on the island. They don't just get to pick and choose games and then go back home. I mean, they're there.
Yeah,
so
they're in the bubble. Once
they're in the bubble, right. So it doesn't matter whether they're crammed in a truck or not.
That's a given for anybody we mentioned, that they're just in the bubble, and then once you're in, you stay in, right, in theory.
Yep.
The only way you go out is if you get sick, right? So otherwise, you're in there. You're quarantined in this thing. As far as the media, I think you would have to say that only a very small group would need to actually be on site. I think you would have some national guys in there, but in terms of the regular beat writers, I think you could set up a decent system through Zoom, et cetera, to be able to at least in some form cover the games, right? I don't know if that's going to be to the liking of a lot, but that you have to keep the numbers down. Maybe one or two beat writers per team. So that's what I would think. But I think you would set up a second tier of the rest of the media that's going to cover the games on a daily basis. Here's what you do. You get on Zoom. There'll be a press conference you have access to. You know, a lot of the things, you would just take the next step of what's being done. A lot of times, how many times have we watched a press conference online where we can't ask a question, but we can follow it and listen to everything that's
okay,
said.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. Let's pause, okay? Let me stop you. So here's what you're going to run into. I'm just telling you, this is how this works, and you should know this. You should agree with this, both of you. Okay, fine. Yeah, every market, every team, is, you said, a couple of beat writers. Okay, fine. So they're going to be there. They're going to get access. They're going to get to go in the room. They're going to get to direct quotes for their outlets. Okay? And so you are choosing now two media members. You're choosing. And so what about the media members 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 that say, wait a minute. Well, why do they get to go? Why does their outlet get the quotes? And I just get
it's
to
a
do
very
Zoom?
Good question.
I just get, yeah, wait a minute, I'm a just doing conference calls, but X, I'm better than them. I got more viewers or more whatever you want. Look, I'm just making the case, right?
Some may not want to go. Some might say, hey, I'm not going there for four months
and here's
being
another
away
thing.
From my family. I'll just do the
no
I'll
doubt.
Just cover the game.
But what
from
about
my
the
thing?
One that but, says, I want to go? And my,
yeah,
my
I
listeners
get that.
Or my viewers or my readers, they deserve that access. So why don't I get to go? So then how do you handle
maybe,
that?
Maybe have a lottery. Maybe have a lottery. Or you, yeah, maybe that's what you would, I don't know. Or
especially
you have
the bigger
to
markets,
it
right? It's a little bit easier for the smaller markets, but in the bigger markets, you're going to tell New York, hey, you bring two beat writers? New York's going to be like, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? To cover the Yankees? What?
Well, here's another thing that we haven't really discussed, too. As a part of all this, I mean, don't you have to go through, and this goes for the teams themselves, but don't you have to go through media members that, you know, could be higher risk? I mean, if there's some older people or, you know, that have had
100%.
Have had conditions before, and you know, for lack of
well,
a better
word.
Well,
they may bow out on their own, right?
Well, right.
We've already
but
seen that. You saw that in wrestling.
Sure. They've bowed out on their own, but I think you also have to kind of, you know, to go through this, you have to say, all right, you know what? Maybe you don't need to be here. Maybe the league kind of needs to say, maybe you need to sit this one out. And as Willie was saying, you know, have the Zoom calls. I think for the beat writers.
But what if they fight it and they say, dude, I'm fine. I'm totally healthy. I've got a clean bill of health.
Somebody's going to have to step in. I mean, I'm just going to use Willie as an example since he's here, because I don't want to name names or anything. So let's say that Willie has had something in the past, and that makes him at higher risk for this. And they're going to, you know, Willie is a part of a team broadcast.
Chase, hair loss is not a concern when it comes to COVID-19.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is not. But Willie's calling games for the Mets, okay? And Willie's like, yep, you know, I'm good. I'll be away from Aaron and the kids. I'm fine with that. Like, I'll go and be in this bubble. And he goes and he takes a physical, and they're like, well, you've had this condition before that makes you higher risk. Yeah, you could leave it up to Willie to make that decision, but don't you also have to have somebody that, you know, is going to make that call? I know that's a tough call to make. I know that's not what we want, but I think you almost have to have somebody so you don't have that fighting back and forth of like, hey, you know what? I just think that could put you at risk. It could put others at risk. You're going to have to – we're not going to be able to let you in.
I know there's a lot of people listening to this and are like, this is silly. But if you don't think this wouldn't happen, you're just naive. Okay? You just have never been in the – because there is no doubt this scenario that I'm throwing out there would play out. There is no doubt in my mind it would play out. And like I said, it's easier said than – you can't – so somebody's got to make the decision. Somebody within their organization has to tell – media members, yeah, we love you, but you're not going. Why? Well, then why does X get to go? And you're just going to – it's just going to create – and we shouldn't be having this, you know, because of all that we're going through. Like, this shouldn't be a discussion piece that in the big picture. But it'll happen. I'm just telling you. It will.
Right, but you can't have 250 or whatever media people.
Agreed. So, that's why I said, so what's the cutoff? And, oh, by the way, what about all the great people behind the scenes for these organizations that we know with the Predators and the Titans here in town that work their butts off, they don't get any credit, but behind the scenes, all the people that know what they do, the players know what they do, and they know how essential their jobs are and how important their jobs are. But you can't take everybody, yeah. Everybody that you have now. So who stays behind in that, you know, aspect?
Do you maybe look at it like this, and going back to baseball, and go by division? So essentially you take, let's say you take the NL East, and you pluck media members or broadcasters from that division, and you can mix and match. So you could have somebody that, you know, is a broadcaster for the Braves or somebody for the Mets, and you could mix and match in behind the scenes people, but you're essentially consolidating down division by division. I'm spitballing. And then you have a couple of beat writers that are familiar. You're like, if you cover the Mets, you're familiar with the Braves. You're familiar with the Marlins. You're familiar with the Phillies. You cover the division. So you bring in beat writers, a couple of beat writers from each division, and do it that way.
Once again, okay, what's the cutoff? Who gets that? Who gets that? And who doesn't?
You got to have somebody that's willing to make that decision. No, I'm serious. Like, yeah. No, you have to designate a person that is willing to have the tough conversation and say, hey, Willie, we love your work, but we're going to go with Darren from here and have him go.
And then what if Willie is really upset about it and Willie's not exactly quiet about this? And says, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all my people out there. And then people start going after the organization. Then you create strife. Like, why? You know what I mean? That's fair.
You're not going to win that battle if you try to go fight that. You just have to say, listen, these are different times. This is a temporary thing. This is hopefully just a one-season thing. And next season we'll see you in spring training.
Okay,
you know,
let me paint another picture. You guys are thinking – you're thinking, you know, everything is just going to be rosy and nope, there's not going to be any pushback on anything just because we're trying to make it work. And I agree with you. That's the way it should be. That's just not – that's fantasy land. Okay? What about all the great umpires out there? What about all the great umpires that have been involved in the game for a long time? What if some of them go, yep, I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. I'm not signing up for that.
Well, you're going to have that.
So then they have to go pull lesser umpires, umpires that maybe don't have any experience at the Major League Baseball level. And then when there start to be some bad calls and people are complaining about the games and how they're being called, then Major League Baseball, well, we couldn't have some of our better umpires. They didn't sign up.
Being
questioned.
The product is going to be questioned. It's going to be different. I think everybody's got to understand that. But if you had the electronic strike zone and, in theory, a replay system, now that would be an interesting question, is how would you recreate the replay system? Would you have as many camera angles? I would think you would try to be as economical as you can or as efficient as you can with the number of cameras at each field, because the less cameras you incorporate, the less people you have to have in there. You want to keep your numbers down. But these are all very this is why there's no way that they're getting together in May. This is going to take a long time to plan.
Well, and
I
think
a long time to play. I mean, I like the aggressiveness, the ambitiousness of saying, let's shoot for May, with the idea that in your mind, you know May's not going to happen, but you try to put it on a fast track. But in reality, you've got to sort through so many things. It's going to take you months to get this right.
This is why when you said 60%, Chase, I wish it was 100%, okay? We all do. But there's no way I'm even coming close to 60%, because this conversation we're having right now are the conversations they're having, and the little area we've tackled is a pimple on an elephant's butt. Think about all the scenarios they have to play out.
Well, I don't think baseball wanted this out yet.
All this happen. And that's why I think, to me, for it to really be pulled off, I just don't know how you really pull it off, because there are so many things that have to be factored in and so many things that have to happen. I don't know how you do it. And what Willie just said right now, give me a break. We're in April. You think next month you're going to pull off all that? No chance. None. 5% or less. 5% or less that it happens in May, in my opinion.
Well, okay, if you read this, you read the statement earlier that baseball put out there, and the translation in my mind is, yeah, we didn't want this out yet. We just started having this conversation and somebody talked. That's what I took away from it. I don't know if whoever the source was said, yeah, May, that's been thrown out there. Well, how much has that been thrown out there? Was it baseball and the players sitting down at a table going, yes, May is our goal. We are going to focus on May. We have to get it done by May. Or was it, it'd be cool to get this done by May? We don't know. So I look at it that way, of that I don't think they were ready for this to get out. They're in the very early stages of this conversation. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about basically putting baseball in Arizona, using spring training facilities to try and get the season going. But all the logistics that we've thrown out there of how many members of the media come in, what do you need staff-wise? Do you have 40-man rosters? These are all things that they have to figure out, and I don't think they were prepared to have that conversation yet publicly.
Right, I agree, and I think the biggest mistake you could make would be rush into it. I know people want to get out there. The players are going to want to play, I think. Although Buster Olney raised a question, I saw him on Twitter react to this article and say that maybe there would be some players that would be hesitant to be separated from their families, A, and also know that there's a health risk. So I don't know but I have to feel like the players are going to want to do this. But you can't rush and make mistakes trying to get it up and running faster. We've already found that out in Japan. They tried to do it.
Yep.
Right, and they had to shut it back down.
That's right. No doubt about it. By the way, we've had a couple matchups in our bracket that we were asking, is anything going to get close or hairy? Sonny Gray and Victor Arvidsson is getting hairy. The 5 versus 13. Victor now 51.5% of the vote. So 51.5% of the votes, 48.5% for Sonny Gray. There's been some movement on Derrick Henry and Philip Forsberg. Philip Forsberg creeping in the discussion. That thing is now down to 55-45 Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry 55, Forsberg 45% of the vote. So keep those votes coming in. TheGameNashville.com. Fourth and final hour, we start things off with Terry McCormick. We'll switch gears, talk a little football with him, and what could be Zoomgate. Who knows? That could be the discussion piece after this year's draft. Zoomgate. Were the Patriots tapping in to people's conference calls, to their Skype? I don't know. We'll talk about all that and more with Terry McCormick. On the other side, Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.